Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dory Smith.
You know, people here actually are surprised that this highly educated young man living in the U.S., how did he turn to militancy? What happened?
We spend the half hour with journalist Rahimullah Yousafzai, resident editor of The News in Peshawar. He joined us from Peshawar May 5th, as news reports were just coming in about the family of would-be Times Square bomber Faisal Shahzad. Rahimullah Yousafzai shares reactions from Faisal Shahzad's family in the Peshawar region of Pakistan. Some there are expressing suspicion of deeper intrigue in the background.
Some are even saying that this seems to be some kind of a conspiracy.
We focus on recent news and also the Shahzad case as it applies to security problems in Pakistan, the U.S., North Waziristan, and beyond. Rahimullah Yousafzai writes detailed news reports on the tribal regions where he's based. He has been described by journalist Robert Fisk as the most courageous of journalists. Rahimullah Yousafzai, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Hello, thank you very much.
You have been reporting on instability in the entire region of Pakistan's border with Afghanistan, but I want to focus on North Waziristan first. Just describe tensions there as a power struggle grows more complicated day by day.
North Waziristan is one of the seven tribal regions in Pakistan, and these areas are on the border with Afghanistan. Due to the instability and war in Afghanistan, the Pakistani tribal areas have also been affected and radicalized. The Pakistani government has a small presence in North Waziristan, but the area is largely controlled by militants. These are Pakistani Taliban who are aligned with the Afghan Taliban, and they've also given refuge in this area to some people belonging to Al-Qaeda. They include Arabs, and there are also some Uzbekistanis who actually are affiliated to the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan. So we have these different groups of militants operating in that area, and the Pakistani military launched some military campaigns against the militants some years ago, but for the last almost 2 years, there has been a ceasefire and a peace accord. And the army is present there in the forts and barracks, but there is no military action going on now in North Waziristan. But that now looks very much possible because the Pakistan government is under pressure from the U.S. and from the Afghan government to take action against the militants, because these militants are threatening not only Pakistan and Afghanistan, but also recently they threatened attacks in the U.S.
Well, you have written that this pressure from the U.S. on the Pakistani army is to get them to try to keep foreign militant groups like the Haqqani Network from using North Waziristan to attack Afghanistan, and that's something the Haqqani Network denies, you have said.
Yes, actually this is a faction of the Afghan Taliban. It's called the Haqqani Network because it was founded by a veteran Afghan Mujahideen commander called Jalaluddin Haqqani. So after him, the group is called Haqqani Network. He is now an old man, but his son, Sirajuddin Haqqani, has taken over. He is the commander. In fact, the family migrated to North Waziristan in Pakistan in the early 80s. The family belongs to Khost province, neighboring Waziristan in Afghanistan. And the family has lived there all these years. This was one of the most important Mujahideen commanders who fought against the Soviet occupying forces in Afghanistan in the 80s and 90s. But then he joined Taliban. He also became a minister in the Taliban government. I mean, this is the elder Haqqani, Jalaluddin. And now he's old and ill, but his son is about 30 years old and he's the commander. So There are reports that maybe some of his fighters actually present in the Pakistani tribal area of North Waziristan. The family denies this. The Pakistan government also denies this. They are saying that only the women and children and the old people from the Haqqani family are living in Pakistan. And they say that the fighters aligned with the Haqqani network are in Afghanistan fighting the U.S.-led forces. That is the issue now between the two countries. Americans would like Pakistan Army to take action against the Haqqani network and to capture the top commanders if they are hiding in Pakistan. But Pakistan has not moved against the Haqqani network because Pakistan believes that right now they cannot take action against the militants in North Waziristan because all of them will join hands, the Haqqanis and the Al-Qaeda and the Pakistani Taliban, and then Pakistan Army, about 150,000 of them are already fighting in different tribal areas, and they think that they don't have the resources and the manpower to open a new front. So they want to first deal with the other tribal areas and other militants, and then finally move into North Waziristan.
There have been reports that a man named Massoud had been killed, but then too that an attack recently in the last few days against a CIA compound was attributed to Massoud. Can you enlighten us as to whether or not in Pakistan there's an understanding about this person?
Yes, this is Hakimullah Massoud. He is the leader of Pakistani Taliban. His group is called the TTP, and the founder was Baitullah Massoud, who was killed last year in August in a U.S. missile strike in South Waziristan. And now Hakimullah has taken over, but there were reports that he may have been killed in another U.S. missile strike on January 14 this year. The U.S. intelligence agencies and the Pakistanis believed that he has been killed, but now there are reports that he is alive. And in fact, he has issued a videotape recently in which he is seen talking to the camera, and he, in the same video, threatened attacks in the U.S. So this man seems to be alive. He is still active, and that will inspire his followers. He actually is the most powerful militant commander in Pakistan. His area, South Waziristan, was captured by the Pakistan Army in a big offensive which began in October last year. But he and his men escaped, and now they're hiding in North Waziristan and other tribal regions. And they have returned in some numbers to attack the Pakistani army in South Waziristan. So this is an ongoing fight, and it will take time. It won't be easy and quick because the militants are still present in different tribal regions.
I want to look at your piece about the Punjabi Taliban capture of Colonel Imam and Khalid Khwaja. I'm given to understand that at least one of these individuals kidnapped was in the ISI and possibly CIA. Is there something to be learned from these events that can help people both in the U.S. military and the Pakistani security services and also in the United States to understand a better way forward that will work against these kinds of actions of terror?
One of the former officers of the Pakistan Intelligence Agency, ISI, Khalid Khwaja, was killed by his kidnappers last week. And he was accused of being an agent of CIA and ISI. The other official who was kidnapped is Colonel Imam. He's still alive, but he's in the custody of these kidnappers. And then there's a British journalist. He's of Pakistani origin, Asad Qureshi, and he's also in the custody of kidnappers. they were actually taken hostage on 26 March. And the kidnappers, who belonged to an unknown group, Asian Tiger, but we all know that they are members of a Punjabi Taliban group called Lashkar-e-Jangvi. So they are demanding the release of three Afghan Taliban commanders who are being held by Pakistan government. One of them is the deputy leader of the Afghan Taliban named Mullah Biradar. And the Pakistan government is not going to release them. They're very important people. So one of the hostages has been killed. The life of the other two is in danger. And this actually is one of the many groups operating in North Waziristan. And they seem to be uncontrollable. They are very angry with the Pakistani intelligence and army, because in the past, maybe they were allies, but now the Pakistan army and the intelligence service, ISI, are trying to eliminate these militants. So it's an open war. That's why these former ISI officers were kidnapped. One of them was killed. And I think that this shows that it's not going to be easy to fight these people in North Pakistan, because there are so many groups. They're all very well entrenched in that area.
And what about the United States here and U.S. intelligence services? I know in the past, the presence of the United States was a destabilizing factor, especially where, you know, intelligence figures and the military were giving out a lot of U.S. dollars. Is that a factor?
The U.S. has been a major player in this part of the world. In the past, it was actually helping the Afghan Mujahideen and trying to defeat the Soviet forces in Afghanistan. And now, it is itself fighting these militants. And it has been actually assisting Pakistan now, and also the Afghan government, to regain control of these areas which are beyond the control of the Pakistani state. The U.S. Sometime has also been a destabilizing force, because it has been supporting military regimes in Pakistan, and that actually annoys the Pakistani people who want democracy. Also, the U.S. has been helping in the past these fundamentalists, the Afghan Mujahideen, who were fighting the Soviet forces. And those Afghan Mujahideen, at least some of them, have joined Taliban, and now they're fighting the U.S. Also, the U.S. is now using its drones to attack the militants in Waziristan, especially in the North Waziristan. They were able to kill some of the militants, some belonging to Al-Qaeda and Taliban, but they also killed a number of civilians. And that also actually is creating anger against the U.S. and also making it difficult for the Pakistani government and army to win the sympathies of the people against the Taliban. So, you know, in a way, the U.S. policy works both ways. It is helping the Pakistani state with weapons, with money, with resources to fight the Taliban, but some of the U.S. actions is also causing instability in the area.
You're listening to Talk Nation Radio, produced in Storrs, Connecticut. I'm Dori Smith. Details about Faisal Shahzad have continued to unfold here in Connecticut, where the 30-year-old naturalized citizen attended college and worked for several companies, including Affinion Group in Norwalk, a finance and marketing company that does work on identity theft and data breach resolutions as well. Network affiliate TV stations here have said authorities investigating the case had dropped their original thought about a politically motivated right-wing attack on Times Square. They're focusing instead now, according to these sources, on the international travels of Faisal Shahzad, who acknowledged to authorities that he had visited Waziristan. Faisal Shahzad is charged with making the homemade explosive device found in the Nissan Pathfinder left running and on fire in Times Square. We'll be continuing to monitor this story here in Connecticut and to try to learn more about the vehicle itself and the license plate that didn't match it that police have tied to an auto parts business here called Kramer's. There have also been some people arrested in Pakistan in connection with this attempted bombing, including Sheikh Rohamed Rehan, who has been said to have ties with a group called Jahish-e-Muhammad. Faisal Shahad's parents attended his graduation in 2001 from Southeastern University in Washington, D.C., after which he transferred to the University of Bridgeport, Connecticut, to study computer science and engineering. He has lived here since and became a U.S. citizen while living in Connecticut. He has been charged with some 5 terrorism-related counts. In Pakistan, Rahimullah Yousafzai offers us a portrait of a man from a liberal, secular family. We're speaking with journalist Rahimullah Yousafzai, resident editor of The News in Peshawar, Pakistan. That's the name of the newspaper, The News. And I want to ask you now about Faisal Shahzad. As you know, a lot of attention being paid here in the United States to Pakistan after the attempted attack on Times Square that Faisal Shahzad has been arrested for and, we understand from authorities, has admitted. What is the reaction in the Peshawar region? His family is from there. His father, a former Pakistani Air Force official. What are people saying?
The family belongs to a village near Peshawar where I am based. But the family had left the village years ago, and now it was living in Peshawar in a very rich area. The family is well-to-do, and the father of Faisal Shahzad, as you said, was a senior officer in the Pakistan Air Force. He was an Air Vice Marshal. His name is Baharul Haq, and he has retired from the Air Force. But a number of relations of Faisal Shahzad were serving in the armed forces, in the Pakistan Army, Pakistan Air Force, and he actually is highly educated. So, you know, people here actually are surprised that this highly educated young man living in the U.S., how did he turn to militancy? What happened? And I was talking to a friend of the family. He was saying that the last time he saw Faisal here in Pakistan, he was growing a small beard. And he says, I asked Faisal, you know, whether this beard is for fun or for religious reason. And he said he didn't get any answer. So people were surprised that, you know, this man was becoming religious or that he had turned to militancy. In the village itself, where the family used to live, you know, people have been telling the media that they can't believe this. Some are even saying that this seems to be some kind of a conspiracy by the U.S. to malign the Pakistan Army because the father of Faisal is a retired army officer. So, you know, there is disbelief, but I must tell you also that people are worried. They think there would now be more pressure by the U.S. on Pakistan, and Pakistan Army would have to go into North Waziristan. There will be more fighting, more deaths and destruction, more displacement of people. Already we have 1.6 million displaced people due to the army action in the tribal area. So people are living in misery, and these camps for the displaced people actually are becoming nurseries for a new generation of militants. So, you know, the government lacks resources. There's no clear policy to rehabilitate the people who have suffered due to the military action and militancy. And we have a big challenge on hand. You know, I don't think Pakistan has the capacity to try to tackle these problems.
Can you say more about which political movements or leaders someone like Baharul Haq would have been supporting? Because I know it's a fragile time there politically, still waiting on an investigation into who may have assassinated Benazir Bhutto, just many complex problems. But we were hearing reports not long ago that the Pakistani government itself had failed and that you have organized movements now that are intellectual, peaceful, and religious trying to pull together a way forward that is unified to help this, even if it means renaming some parts of Pakistan?
Bahar-ul Haq, actually, his reputation is that of a very liberal and secular man. One of his friends said that the father, Bahar-ul Haq, seldom offered his prayers. So it is amazing that the father is secular and liberal, not religious, while the son becomes very religious. We have seen this happening to many people who live in the West. They become religious. The other day I was seeing two pictures. It was titled Tale of Two Cities. One picture was of the Pakistani city Lahore. There, couples were walking in the marketplace, hand in hand. They were wearing jeans, girls wearing jeans, young girls, which is not common in Pakistan. The other picture was of Birmingham in England, in the UK. And there were women who were fully covered, and there were men with long beards. They were walking the street. It was amazing, that there are maybe Pakistanis or other Muslims living in the West, and they have grown beards and they have covered their faces. While here in Pakistan, you can see couples walking hand in hand and wearing jeans. So this is, an observation that people who live in the West, somehow many of them turn to religion and they want to protect their faith because they think that living in the West, their faith is under some kind of a threat. So I think that in Pakistan, we have a wide choice of political forces. We have got secular parties, leftist parties, we have got Islamic parties, we have got nationalist parties, and most Pakistanis support the secular parties. They have been voting for secular parties. Religious parties have not fared well in Pakistan in the elections. And there is great opposition now to Taliban. People don't like them to impose their way of life on the Pakistanis. So I think that this sentiment, this opposition to Taliban, to extremism, this needs to be taped. This needs to be exploited. And that can only happen if there's a credible leadership in Pakistan. The Pakistan leadership is generally very corrupt and incompetent. So people become fed up with the government, with their ruling parties. And some of them turn to militancy because they believe that militants have the answer to Pakistan's problems.
Can you say what you've seen that is a better answer? I know, again, there is a movement to change the name of some parts of this region so that more people, the Pashtun and others, will feel included and so that they will have unity against some of these long-standing powerful warlords, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar and others, but just to be able to be unified now against the forces that they are rejecting.
No, the name actually has already been changed. Now the province, Northwest Frontier Province, is called Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. Pakhtunkhwa means the land of the Pakhtun people. So many people are happy with the change because the name gives them some kind of an identity. But this is not actually the real solution to the problem. The problems here are unemployment. The problems here are lack of rule of law, corruption. These are the problems. These need to be tackled. There is so much of unemployment and they can easily fall prey to the message coming from the militants. So I think that, we need a credible government, we need a system of government and justice which is responsive to the needs of the people. We need a change from the system of government we have right now. We have got a president who is very unpopular. He is known as a corrupt man. We have got an army which has been ruling this country for half its life. And whenever the army is in power, Pakistan suffers. So we have huge problems. We don't have right now energy. We are facing an energy crisis. There is no electric power for hours. You know, we sleep at night without electricity, you know, and it's so hot here. You can imagine, you know, people turning up in school or offices without getting enough sleep. So how can they work, you know? I don't think that the rulers have tried to solve these basic problems of the people, you know, more electricity, more jobs, better education, better health care, rule of law. These are the problems which need to be tackled.
Finally, I would be remiss if I did not mention the many bombings that have been going on in Peshawar. Is there calm there now? And also, have any arrests been made? Has any progress been made in taking this violence on?
Yes, mercifully, there has been no bombing now for the last few weeks. But before this calm, we had a series of bomb explosions, suicide bombings, not only in Peshawar, but also in other parts of the province. That was very unnerving because that happened after months of calm and peace. So people are again worried. As far as arrests are concerned, some people, some suicide bombers have been arrested, but the army and the government have failed to actually eliminate these gangs who actually train the suicide bombers. So we have this problem on our hand. You know, this has been happening now for the last 7 years. We have these bombings, military operations, militancy. Some success has been achieved in trying to diminish the strength of these militant gangs. But, you know, there has been no big success yet, we can say. You know, it's still a long fight. Because, as I said, you know, there are many reasons that people would turn to militancy. And as I said, unemployment, lack of rule of law. And also many people are unhappy that Pakistan is an ally of the U.S. And why the U.S. is not liked, I said earlier, the U.S. has been supporting the Pakistani military rulers. The U.S. support for Israel is mentioned as one of the reasons, main reasons why people don't like American policies. These issues are there. I don't see that these issues would be resolved in the near future, and that's why we don't really expect any big improvement in our lives in the near future.
Rahimullah Yousafzai joined us by phone from Peshawar, May 5th. He is senior editor and Peshawar bureau chief at The News. They cover Pakistan and the region. You can find them online at www.thenews.com.pk. We'll link to them on our website, talknationradio.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Rahimullah Yousafzai has served as a correspondent for Time Magazine, BBC World Service, BBC Pashto, BBC Urdu, GOTV, and ABC News. He has interviewed Osama bin Laden, Mullah Omar, and a range of other militants across the tribal areas of the Pakistan-Afghan border. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program is produced in Storrs, Connecticut, and syndicated nationally with Pacifica Network. TalkNationRadio.org for audio and transcripts. Write to us at TalkNationRadio@gmail.com. Our music is by Fritz Heed, FritzHeed.com.